Welcome, welcome. So I've changed views today. I'm sitting where I do the podcast just to mix things up. I figured this would probably look a little bit better than my bland old couch. So we've got four people watching already. Feel free to let me know where you're from. We've got Bradley, Bigfoot, Quicksilver. Hey, John, Nick, Ahmad. Ahmad, man, do you sleep, dude? It doesn't matter what time of the day it is, Ahmad's on. That's awesome. You probably get less sleep than me. That's insane. So, we've got Quicksilver. I might have already said that. I'm not too sure. We've got Pierre, the Guitaraholic, Chris, Jay. How are you, man? I'm sitting here in my cold old tomb of a apartment block building here with my big sort of fluffy jacket thing on today. So, yeah, just keeping warm. I'm almost back to normal now. I'm feeling heaps better, which is good. All right, we've got people from Texas, Indiana, Ireland. Cool. As in Ireland, I should have said. Not island as in, you know, an island floating in the middle of the ocean. Indiana, New York, Texas, Toronto. Cool. we've got Montana. Awesome. Sassafras in Melbourne. There you go. Represent. I was up that way not long ago. Very cool. Tennessee, I think that is. TN. I don't know all the state abbreviations, but I think that's what that is. All right, cool. We've got Ben from Sydney. How are you, man? Houston, Texas. How cold does it get down here in winter? Well, about an hour, I'm about 2 hours out of, sometimes about an hour away from where I live, it can snow. But where I live, it won't drop below about zero or the freezing point in Celsius. So, yeah, it doesn't often get colder than that. And this winter's been amazing. Like, it's been sunny. It's just crazy, but it's cold still, but it's not that cold yet. I'm just a bit of a wimp. This place stays at a, you know, it feels like it's colder near the wall than it actually is outside. I don't know how that works. Anyway, people from Alabama, Florida, Independence, Missouri. I've never heard of that place. Cool. Washington State, Manchester. Cool. Usually in Prague. We've got Mac Asboy, I think it's, you pronounce that, from Melbourne. How are you, man? North 50 now says, awesome lick in the John Mayer patch. Thanks, man. Yeah, I was just sort of coming up with a bit of a laid-back three-chord groove thing. I think it was like G major, or was it C and D, something like that. That kind of stuff lends itself to not sort of shredding blues guitar over it, which is a lot of fun. All right, we've got Watchtower from Seattle, Tulsa, Chicago, Pennsylvania. Far out. How many people are watching already? Let me check here. As soon as I'm going to load up the actual live stream thing from YouTube here. I've only got the chat open at the moment. I just like to see the stats and all that kind of stuff, so just bear with me one sec. All right. I need that on an album. I did a song kind of similar to that. Actually, it's called Things Gonna Change. And it's got that sort of style of guitar playing. That's kind of where I took the feel of that progression from, I guess. It's kind of like Gravity, but it's kind of like Wonderful Tonight, and it's kind of like the song that I ended up coming up with, which was like all of them. So, yeah. For some reason, I'm having trouble loading up my live stream, but obviously it's working, so I'm just going to go with that, because, yeah, it's really weird when you live stream on YouTube, you don't always get the stats showing. That's one little bug I've noticed, but anyway, here we go, it'll work now. I've just reloaded this page. Sorry guys, 2 seconds, I'm nearly there. Alright, let me mute this, pause that, and I think we're good to go. Alright, cool. So we've got 80 people here already, far out. So if you like live streams and answer a question, feel free to give it a thumbs up. I appreciate that. And all right, so who uses CDs anymore? Well, I do because my car's kind of old, and yeah, there's something good about having physical CDs. You know, if I hadn't kept, I got rid of maybe about 2/3 of my CD collection and just kept the stuff that I really loved. If I hadn't done that back before I knew how to back up things properly and keep copies of my backups, I would have lost a lot. And I would have lost, you know, if I had got rid of most of this stuff, I would have been devastated when I lost my music collection. So the other reason is a lot of stuff you buy from gigs and bands and all that kind of stuff, a lot of it isn't always online as well. So a lot of what I got here is some, you know, bands from San Francisco, bands from Melbourne, bands from wherever I've, you know, people that toured down and all that kind of stuff. A lot of it is stuff you can't actually buy on online anyway. So, you know, that's kind of why CDs are still good. All right. Chris says, Shane, loving your channel. More and more great work. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I've got a really great video coming up tomorrow about delay pedals, which is, I think it's about 10 minutes, but it covers like all the Q&A and how to use them and what to expect from them and all that kind of stuff. So now that I've done with all my friggin' demos that came up, I got lots of stuff that was supposed to be spread out across about 2 months, all turn up the same week. So I'm just about done with all those, thankfully. do I use different gauge strings on my Les Paul compared to my Stratotally? I don't. I play 11 to 49s D'Addario strings on all of my guitars. I almost feel like I should play 10s sometimes on some guitars, but I buy them in bulk, in a box of 10 normally, because that's like the most cost-effective way. And I find like if I have to buy two boxes, it's all of a sudden a whole lot more expensive. So I'm used to it now. I'm used to playing 11s. 10s feel really good, but I wouldn't want to go any lighter than that. I think that's where it starts getting kind of like too slinky or something. I like a bit of fight in the strings. All right, what would I recommend as some beginner blues songs to practice or exercise? Love your videos, keep up the great work. Oh man, it depends. If you're playing acoustic guitar, you could chuck on something like, you know, I think Eric Clapton's Unplugged album has some really great acoustic blues. In terms of electric blues, pick whoever you like. Put on some B.B. King, put on some Albert King, put on anyone that you like listening to and try to practice playing when they play and stop when they stop playing. If you're more into a hot-rodded sound, you know, go for Stevie Ray or Gary Moore, or, you know, there's a million guys out there that are great players. So just try to jam along with the music you really enjoy. That'll make learning and practicing way more fun. Don't put on an album of stuff you're not going to enjoy listening to, because you'll get pretty bored. Hey, North of 50 now says he jammed along about 10 times. Thanks, man. That's cool. I might chuck a backing track together with that sort of thing and people can have a noodle around. You used to have a Les Paul Gold Top P90 tribute, which you said you ended up not liking. Looking for it. Okay, so yeah, the studio Les Paul was okay, right? But it had inherent issues. The pickups were always loose. I couldn't seem to like lock them down properly. I think at the time I had a 70s tribute one as well, which never kept tune. And anyway, you've heard me go on about Gibson guitars. I've had 2 out of 5 that were amazing and one that was okay and 2 that weren't very good. But yeah, basically, what your question is, looking for a P90 equipped Gibson for a decent price. Any thoughts? Or guitar? You know, you could check out some Epiphone stuff. They make some good guitars. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they... Depends where you live too. But yeah, I would always say go play them, make sure that they're fine. You know, some of the studio, if you're a right-hander, odds are you're going to have a whole lot more luck with Gibson than what I did. I have a feeling a lot of my woes were from being a lefty. But yeah, just, you know, check out the Epiphone stuff. Depends if you're trying to think of what other brands there are that might have P90s in there. I'll have to have a think about that. That's a good question. But yeah, check out the Epiphone stuff. You know, I've spoken about the Tokai guitars a lot. In terms of that... Yeah, what am I talking about? Yeah, why don't you check out some of the old Japanese stuff like Bernie's and... there's, yeah, a whole lot of... Like, Yamaha make them as well. Mate of mine actually has a P90 50 style Les Paul Bernie for sale at the moment, and it's a beautiful guitar. It's got a 50s neck. It's from the early 1970s or mid 1970s. It's really cool. All right, so we've got Tarcisco, is that how you pronounce that, from Brazil? How are you? Hey, we've got Paul Duff here. How are you, man? Mate of mine. We jam out the guitar every weekend normally. We've got here we go, PV Bandit. Tom says he got a PV Bandit for practice and he loves it. Awesome stuff. Yeah, you can't beat the PV Bandits. Just for portability and good tone, they're pretty wild. What about Godin guitars instead of Gibson? Godin guitars make great stuff. They're not as common here in Australia. There's a few shops that actually stock them now, but they're Canadian-made guitars, which are fine. So, yeah, if you can find them and they make something like that, definitely give them a look. Yeah, well. Hey, Kenny. I just got a $2 donation. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate that. And we've got Terry Bear here as well, who I think he's set as moderator. He already is. Awesome. So if anyone gives anybody any grief, man, watch out for Terry. He's a crazy man. Nah, thanks. Thanks for joining in, Terry. I just did this spur of the moment. I was rendering out this massive video that I've just put together and I thought I'd get on and do a stream while I got some time here. So Chris says backing tracks would be appreciated. I've also put together a couple of backing tracks that were just, you know, blues ones with actually a great drummer friend of mine, Drew, and I. We got together, we did drums and guitar, and then I played some bass over that. And they're already up on the channel. I think there's a playlist for them, but I think it might be more fun to have some different types of feels as well, like not 12 bar kind of stuff. So I'll see what I can do. Mario says, say hello to Brazil. Hello, Brazil. I was going to try and speak some Spanish then, but I just remembered it might be Portuguese. I could be wrong. So, a new Chinese Tokai come now with a real maple cap. Cool. I didn't know that. Can still find them cheap. All right. What do we got here? Oh, sorry guys. This chat just scrolled right down here. What's my favorite blues riff? Yeah, that's a good question. In terms of actual like hook riffs that are part of the rhythm, it would probably be either Born Under a Bad Sign. These are just ones I can think of off the top of my head. Buddy Guy's got one. Damn Right I Got the Blues. I really like that. I mean, there's blues riffs that aren't actually in... that are kind of like blues rock riffs, which are... There's hundreds of them, which are all great. But that would be the first two that come to mind. Papa Chubby's one called Stoop Down. I really like that groove. I think that's just a killer. Have I ever tried the Fender Mustang Floor? I haven't. I heard there was some... Oh, look, I could be wrong. I heard there was a lot of reliability issues with them, and I never ended up giving them a shot. That, and I never actually saw too many around. I did see a few in shops here and there, but they were pretty expensive here in Australia, at least for what I remember. And I just went, I've already got a Mustang. I don't need to buy one of those. I just didn't see the point in doubling up. But if I ever get a chance to do a quick play test of one, I will. I just don't know anyone that has one. I think that kind of turned up and then disappeared pretty quickly. I'm not too sure why that happened. Have I tried creating a Dave Gilmour sound with a Katana 100 and all the Boss software? I only had that amp for about, 2 weeks? It wasn't mine. Like, I borrowed it off a friend of mine, Rob, who owns it, and I've still got his instruction manual in my car. I keep forgetting to give it back to him. But, basically, no, I haven't tried doing that. They're good amps. You can kind of tone shape them quite a lot. I don't know if you can shape them as much as a Mustang. I think that's one of the limitations of them, but not in a bad way. Like, I think its simplicity is what makes them sound really cool. I like that about them. So I don't know if I'll get one of them in the future or not. I might. If I do, I'll probably buy the 212 one. The 112 one is extremely loud, though. So a mate of mine had it out again on Sunday night, and it was plenty loud. So, yeah. Just got the Boss Katana. This is from Colin, and he loves it. Awesome stuff. Raphael says, yeah, it is Portuguese. I thought so. I wasn't too sure whether or not... I laughed there because I just saw Ben Chan. He threw it, tipped $2. He said, when's the next Croc review shootout? The OG crew. So Ben's been around for years. I think I did a video on my Crocs at one point. I can't really remember what it was about. Those really, really bad shoes. Yeah. I'll have to see what I can do about that. I don't own any, thankfully, anymore. So that's hilarious. And thanks for the $2. I appreciate that. And yeah, like I said, so I always say, guys, you don't have to do that, but it's always appreciated. So thanks. Hey Shane, about the Deluxe Reverb, I've heard mixed reviews about its ability to handle high gain distortions like the Rat Proco. In your experience, how well does it handle distortions? Look, if it's at lower volumes before the amp's breaking up, it should be fine. You have to turn the amp up to a point where it's already clipping and you're pushing pedals in front of it, it won't sound good. If you want, you'd probably be better getting a high headroom clean amp, something like a Hot Rod Deluxe, and just use the clean channel where you can get it up loud and it's still going to retain more clarity. I can see why people have said that, but if they're running their amp too hot, it's not going to be great. But Hot Rod Deluxes are one of the best pedal amps of all time. They just are. They're really good. But you got to make sure you don't have them too loud on the volume. Otherwise, it can start to sound fizzy with high gain only. There was a time I ran that amp on about 7 or 8 at one of the venues. Like, I had it almost maxed out. I put on my overdrive pedal and it didn't sound better, which is rare. So if you're already pushing the amp way too hard, then you're not going to get any benefit out of basically having a pedal in front of an amp. It's just going to get mushy and squishy. So, installed a Swamp Thing in a GT100. Sounds very good. That's awesome, man. That's cool. Look, I have a feeling one of the huge problems with those GT series amps, and this is just from A-B-ing it between the old series and the new ones, is possibly the speaker. I think the speaker, even in the version 2s, is probably the bottleneck in terms of tone for them as well. Upgrading any speaker, I mean, they're still good. The amps sound great, right? But the thing is, upgrading the speaker makes them sound even better and louder and all of that kind of stuff. So I can see how that would probably help the GTs as well. I only had a quick play through the 100 when I got the 200. But yeah, that's interesting to know. That's cool. Maybe down the track we can do some speaker shootouts in there or something. All right, so Bigfoot in Germany. Cool name, man. Says, Shane, I heard you took your guitar apart for travel. Was it packed in your suitcase? Yeah, it was. So when I bought my Classic Vibe from Daytona Beach, Florida, I had it in I bought a gig bag with it as well. So just a, you know, soft case. And coming home, I didn't want to have it as a second luggage item, so I literally bought a $3 screwdriver, took the neck apart, took the strings off, obviously, first, took the neck off, put the body of the guitar in the gig bag, and then folded the gig bag over, wrapped the neck up in some t-shirts and whatever else I had in the bag, like maybe a pair of jeans or whatever, and then that was it. I just put it all in the suitcase, got it home, bolted it back together. So I flew 20,000 kilometers home, put it back together, put strings on it. I didn't even have to adjust it. So yeah, it's very cool. It's very cool. All right, so Chris says, hi Shane, have you tried the new Ernie Ball Paradigm strings? I haven't tried them. Michael says, what's my favorite Dumble style pedal? There's two that come to mind. The first one is the... I've got it. I just got it back from my friend Brian. It's called the Zentastic version 2. It's made by POB pedals, or Pedals of Babylon. And the other one would be the bog standard Zen Drive. That would be it. They're the best two that I've tried, and I've probably only tried probably three or four. But the benefit of the Zen Drive, the benefit of the Zentastic is it also has a boost, so you get a clean boost and a Dumble overdrive in one. So yeah, I kind of like it. Sorry, guys. All right, Mr. Kareem says, hey, Shane, thinking of picking up a Mustang 1 version 1. How are you, man, by the way? Thanks for dropping in. Locally cheap, $45, but worried about the compatibility with your V2 presets. All right, so, for example, that John Mayer one that I made just recently won't work with the version 1s. That particular amp cab, that particular amplifier patch, I should say, well, that model it isn't actually on the version 1s. So you will have limitations about what you can, which patches will work. It will pick the closest one, but it will sound very, very different. So yeah, that's the backwards compatibility issue that they seem to face. They work forwards, but they don't work backwards at all. I'm almost shocked that Fender didn't release like just software upgrades for all of them, just to keep them functional and you know, to prevent landfill. I think that would be a really cool idea. I'm sure that the V2s would have enough memory capacity to be able to store whatever's going on in the, you know, in the GTs minus the Bluetooth stuff. So yeah, it's kind of disappointing they didn't do that. Mario says, hey Shane, what do you think about Led Zeppelin since I've been loving you song? I'm going to have to hear that again, man. I'm horrible with song names. It's only when I hear them, I go, yeah, I know this song. So that's one of them. So, all right, let me just scroll down here. I think I'm getting a bit behind here, guys. Sorry, I'm lots of questions coming up here. Excuse me. Kenny B says, nothing wrong with Crocs. ... just not in public. Yeah. Depends who you're hanging around. If anyone else is in the room, they're going to ridicule you. I think that goes hand in hand. When you buy a pair of Crocs, it comes with a ridicule notice that anyone who sees you in them can, you know, sort of hang crap on you. Micah says, Fender Custom Shop 69 or 50s. If it's in reference to guitars, you just got to pick the one that you like the best. 50s guitars usually have bigger necks, or wider necks. Kirk says, big fan of your work from Vancouver. Have you ever used a Trainor amp? I've owned two of them, actually. I've got a YGL-1, and I've never looked at any another since getting it 3 years ago. I had the YCV-40 and the YCV-50B, I think it was. So I had a blue one that came with EL34s, kind of like a Marshall, and then I had the L6 version, which was the old one that I had. It was a great amp. One of the best onboard overdrives. This was before the whole pedal thing. So I used to play a 335 and a Yorkville Trainer YCV40 and no pedals, because it was just great. And if I listen back to those videos, I'm kind of like shocked how great my tone was in the early days. And yeah, so the only one thing about Trainor amps I don't like over some other amps is they don't sound as large. They sound very focused and directional, which can be great as well, but they don't sort of fill the space like the equivalent would be like a Hot Rod Deluxe with a pedal. I just think that has a larger sound, and I think it's due to the cabinet size. I think the Yorkville amps have that. They've got a thinner cabinet, slightly smaller, but it's still a great sound. I know guys that swear by them. All right, do I ever use different tunings and or a capo, like the Iceman? You know, I always wondered how Albert Collins got his whole vibe together when it came to playing guitar. Like, Was it out of tune when he bought it and he just said, I'm just going to leave it like that? Or did he intentionally tune to open F sharp minor, whatever his tuning was? I can't remember. Something like that. That he just uses capo everywhere. I only use it if I need to, which isn't very often. I have two original songs where I use it, and I don't use it for anything else. When I played acoustic guitar many years ago now, live, I used to use one from time to time, but look, they only ever get used mostly when I'm recording, if I need one, or if, for these two particular songs. Otherwise, I just don't use them, and I never mess with different tuning. I've messed around with it a little bit when I was trying to learn some slide guitar, but I found in the end, like open tune, normal tuning's fine for slide too. Am I still doing private Skype lessons? Look, I can. I just haven't had time to do a whole lot of them, to be honest. But if you're interested, let me know. I can help you out, man. Sorry about this cough, guys. Hey, Parker says, first time that I've had time to stop by a live stream. Thanks, man. Thanks for dropping in. Now, the cool thing is with this live stream thing, this Q&A, I try to mix it up. Last time I did a stream on this day, last week I think it was, or the week before, I did it about 6 hours later than it is now. So I tried to sort of, I think about what time it is in different places so we can get different audiences on as well. Do we like making fun of New Zealanders in Australia? And do you call them Kiwis? I think we call them lovingly Kiwis. It's not like a derogatory term or anything like that. But you can't make too much fun of the New Zealanders because they're generally huge, huge folks. They're big guys. But they're like, what do you call it? Like teddy bears, you know? Like the big, I know a lot of big Maori guys and they're all lovely dudes. I've worked with plenty of folks from New Zealand. It's funny because where the gym I go to right now, the biggest guys that are in there are Maoris or the New Zealanders, you know, the big guys. So, all right, so we've got Doug from Chandler, Arizona says, I'm back subscribing. I appreciate your channel. You, Pixie, and Tone King are the best on YouTube. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And good segue. So at the end of this month, on the 30th, I think it is, on the Tone King's channel, we're organizing the next YouTube Summit thing. I think I've just sent Tone King a message, or Lewis a message about that, just to see if it was on, and he said it is. So as soon as I know more, I'll post up a 30-second video about exactly what time it's on and who's joining and all that kind of stuff once he has that all organized, or once we have that all organized. So, yeah. I appreciate that, and it's good to work with these other guys, even if it's, you know, doing the live streams and all that. I think it's a good common ground, you know. We all have different musical tastes, we all like different amps, but we all play guitar and we love it the same, so it's really cool. And it's funny, you know, talking to Steve and Lewis, I've dealt with Lewis before via email, and he always seemed like a decent guy. Like, I hadn't actually spoken to him, but you know, it's funny when you speak to some people and you feel like you kind of know them. Maybe it's that whole thing of YouTube. You know, I watch other channels, not a whole lot of other gear channels, but I watch a couple of other channels, and they're two of the guys I'm subscribed to. And I guess it's the same thing. I felt like I know them because I've seen them so much online. So, yeah, it was good. It was really good fun actually chatting to them. So, yeah, the next live stream with them will be end of the month on Tone King's channel. All right, Lee says, I have an issue downloading patches through Fender Fuse. I use a Mac. Oh, yeah, it's horrible on a Mac. I tried loading up Fender Fuse on a Mac, and it didn't work. You need to install something called Microsoft Silverlight, I think, on an Apple for it to work. But then again, it might not work, because I tried it, and I couldn't get it to work. Macs are really awful for software that's not... I don't want to say like official software, but you know, they don't often update Fender Fuse. I don't think they've ever updated it. So if it doesn't work and you've got the latest operating system and all that, it could just be that it doesn't work. And I hear your pain. What compressor do I use? I use Waves compressor when I do my audio production. No, I don't actually use a compressor pedal when I play live at all. I don't I like my dynamics and my pick attack and all that kind of stuff. Hi Shane, what would you recommend for to pair up with a Les Paul style Gibson Sonics for tonal variety? Sonics. I'm not sure what that is. Sorry, man. I'm not sure what that is. Sorry. All right. Have I had any vintage Fender amps? I don't think I've ever owned any vintage amps, to be honest. Nah. I've had a chance to play some, which have been fun, but I've never owned any. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about owning like 50s amps. Or 60s amps. For me, I don't really find it that necessary. Like I think a good sound is a good sound. I'm happy with what I got, at least right now. So for me to go spend three times the amount of money on an old amp that may have reliability issues or may need a lot of work, I just don't want to risk doing that at all. All right. Have you tried the Seymour Duncan Little 59s? Fishman Fluence for a Strat. I haven't tried the Fishman Fluence pickups at all. I know you need a battery to power them, and you got to like charge them kind of like you do with an iPhone, and that just, I don't know. I know the sales pitch is, you got to charge everything. Well, I don't have to charge my Telecaster. I just plug it in and I'm good to go. I like that. There's always a time where you'll forget to charge it up. The NiCad battery will end up, you know, not working after 3 years, and you'll have to replace that if you can replace that. I don't know, man. I don't know about pickups you actually need to charge up. I'm not sold on that idea, to be honest. And your other one was Seymour Duncan 59s. I haven't tried them either, man. So I hear good things about those particular ones, but I haven't tried them. If anyone else in the chat has tried them, feel free to comment. All right, so North of 50 now says he's got the Fishman's in his tally. Well, that's cool. Let me know what the battery life's like, because that's the only thing that concerns me is, you know, if you leave your guitar plugged in, does it drain the battery like it does with pedals, or is it something you got to turn on and off? So, I just picked up a Tally with Joe Barton, Nashville pickups, and JB Bridge. I only tried it based on all the demos with your Joe Bartons, loving them. Cool, man. Awesome stuff. All right, on my Telecaster, what's the best pickup height? Oh, that's kind of subjective, man. Look, don't get too concerned with how many millimeters it is away from anything. As long as your string's not touching when you're on the last fret, touching the pickups, and you've got enough clearance, just use your ear. Just move them up and down based on what you think sounds good. I'm not one of those guys that really gets too technical with that stuff. I just go from what I like the sound of, and raising them up or down or angling them either treble side up or bass side up or whatever can make a huge difference to the sound. So just trust your ears. If it sounds good where it is, just leave it. If it's too bright on the bridge pickup, you know, bring the bridge pickup on, say, the high strings down. You can actually lower it so it's further away from the strings, and it should create less of a bright sound. You don't want to go too far down, but the further you go down, the more voicey and sort of stringy the pickup will sound. The higher it is, the more modern and full it will sound. So, yeah, just have a fiddle around and see how you go. Whoa, Boom Shakalaka says, thumbs up, guys. Thanks, man. So I've got 109 people watching and 35 thumbs up. So at least a third of the people like the live stream. That's good. Any thoughts on 12-string pedals? Maybe that was 12-string guitars, maybe? If I've missed something, let me know. How about the Wampler Euphoria as a Dumble-style pedal? That's a great pedal. Actually, I've had a chance to use those. I don't know. Is that an actual a Dumble-style pedal? Or is it just an overdrive? I'm not too sure. But either way, it sounds good. It's a great pedal, so... Bigfoot in Germany says, thanks Shane, heading to the US next week and need to bring my Squire Strat and didn't want to use the extra suitcase for the fees. I appreciate the tips. Yeah, you can't go wrong. Just you know, do what I did, put it in a gig bag, or even just wrap it in clothes, chuck it in the suitcase, it should be fine. Clive 54, catch you later, man. Thanks for hanging around. Vincent says, is Pepsi throwing cash at you to have a can on camera? No, that would be my caffeine addiction. I don't drink coffee, so this is my coffee. It's way worse, I know, but, you know, I'm trying to keep my pretty good balance now between exercise and good food and crap like this, so... Hey, Shane, do you convert the live streams into podcasts? Hey, that's a good question. I did the first one of those recently with the summit. That went over really well. I think the trick to doing... to turning the live stream into a podcast would be to actually ask every question that I answer. And I try to do that on the most part, but sometimes I read half of it and then just answer. So I've gotten the habit of trying to ask the questions first before I answer. And I can probably do that without any trouble. So happy to throw them onto the iTunes podcast. That's easy to do. It's easy to do. Chris says, where can I find my original music? Look, I had it on my website for ages. The only album I've got on iTunes right now is my latest one. It's called This Drive. So I'll type my band name in the chat here so you can check it out. This album's a little bit different. It's kind of more laid back and cruisy. If you like JJ Cale and sort of like Clapton 70 stuff or Mark Knopfler stuff, that's kind of what I went for with this one. It's not as in-your-face blues solo. I've got a few of those albums. Probably got a few of them back here too. But yeah, I took them down off my website just because they were pretty slow. Like I'd only send one out every now and then. I might get back on that and work out a better way to get them out there. So leave that with me. But right now, if you do want one, you can email me at inthebluesatoutlook.com and I'll sort it out for you. Have I tried or will I try the Helix? I had a look at it. It wasn't something that really interested me a whole lot, to be honest. Look, I'm sure that they'll actually be okay. So for those who don't know, I think it's like a digital effects rig from Line 6. Just not something that I'm ever going to use playing live. But, you know, if you're playing at home, then maybe you'll be all right. Or maybe live for certain types of music, but for blues, you don't really need a lot of that stuff. Dylan says, hey Shane, I just joined the stream. I don't know what's going on, but your opinion of Kurt Cobain and how it's 306 in Ireland. I used to really like Nirvana. I've still got some of their albums somewhere in the jungle of CDs back here. Oh, did I get rid of most of them? I can't remember, but... basically, I used to be right into that sort of music. That was, you know, White Zombie, Nirvana, Metallica, all the ones that end in A. Well, except for White Zombie. But yeah, I used to, yeah, look, pioneer for that particular sound. Good songwriter. Had a great band. David Grohl, man. He's gone on to prove that he's probably the most versatile musician in rock and roll ever. So, yeah, like that Live Unplugged album of Nirvana's, I really like that as well. There's some really great songs on there, and some just great riffs, like stuff that's just, you'll never forget it, you know? So, yeah. All right. Oh, here's a question from Chris. He says, hi, Shane, I'm going to be deployed for a year, and I'm leaving my nice guitars behind, sorry. Any advice on taking care of them while I'm away? Is it safe to leave them in a hard case for a year? Yeah, look, you'll be fine. There's people that have left Fender, you know, 50s Strats in cases for 20 years under a bed. So I think you'll be fine. The trick is try not to have them anywhere near moisture. That would be my you know, little bit of a tip. You don't want to leave them... say, I don't know where you live exactly, but if it gets to like minus 15 degrees and it snows, don't have them near a damp wall. Like, get them away from all of that kind of stuff. Or leave them at a friend's house where, you know, the temperature of the house might be consistent. It might be a thing you can do. if you know, if your house does vary a lot in temperature. But look, if it's just, if your, your house isn't damp, you should be fine. I think that would be the, you know, your cases might, if you've got tweed cases, they might get moldy, but the wood doesn't like moisture. So that would, temperature can affect guitars a little bit, but moisture will be the culprit on the most part. So yeah, that would be my tip. Oh, by the way, I don't know if I answered this before, but yeah, I just saw that question about the Pepsi. Man, if Pepsi was sponsoring the podcast, I'd actually have a second light right here. direct recording through an interface. Do you always mic your amp, or a little of both? Look, you got to do whatever works for your situation. Whenever you record electric guitar, work with not only wherever you live, but also what sounds the best. Sometimes you can have a really great amp, and you'll mic it up, and you might not know a whole lot about mic technique or how to get a good sound out of an amp, and then you'll try like some sort of digital interface or even one of those Joyo American sound pedals, which I had out just yesterday actually, and you'll plug that in, you'll get a much better sound, because A, it takes all the confusion out of miking, out of the equation. You can record it any time of the day or night without annoying your neighbors, all that kind of stuff. So if I always say to people, there's no right or wrong way to record. Just work with whatever way is easiest. The good thing about technology now is you can record with software like BIOS straight into your computer. You don't really need to get a mix of stuff anymore. You just don't. You can just copy a track and bump it a millisecond to the behind or in front and get a really cool delay sort of thing going on. Change amp models and all that. So my suggestion is just work recording however works for you. There's no right or wrong. Look, ideally, a lot of people will go, oh, you need to record your actual tone and all this kind of stuff. But I can dial in my tone using an American sound pedal as opposed to running my amp on 10. Or I can use my Two Notes Torpedo. That's an expensive option and maybe the best option for recording, in my opinion. But all over my albums, I've used a mix of whatever I could. I either mic my amp up, I use some direct pedal recording, like from the Joyo American sound pedals, or their Vox one and all that kind of stuff. So just do it however you can. Yeah. All right. So Kin says, hi, Shane. I bought the Svesound Retrozoid Fuzz from you and I'm loving it. It's such a great pedal. Cheers. Hey, no worries. So on my, I never really talk about it, but on my Patreon account, any of the X demo pedals I get in or any of the pedals I get in become X demo pedals. And I give anyone who subscribes to there first dibs on anything at like half the price of what they're worth. So I'm glad you're loving it. Thanks heaps. Yeah, Mark from Svesound makes some pretty awesome stuff. Have I ever tried the Strymon Riverside pedal? I haven't. I've had a chance to. I don't know if I've actually tried playing them. Or my friend Rick has a few of them, and I don't think he's got that one, so I haven't tried that one. All right. I had a friend with a 60s Vibralux. Damn, it sounded nice, but it blew up a couple of times. Yeah, that's the thing that, for me, instead of buying vintage amps that, look, it's one thing to own a vintage amp and have it sort of sitting there doing nothing, but I like to use stuff. I wouldn't ever buy a piece of gear that I wouldn't take out to a gig. I had that Gold Top Les Paul, the actual custom shop one. That was the only piece of gear that I felt like it was almost too good to take out. I didn't like that feeling. There's something about being overly cautious about stuff. I don't like that sort of feeling. And if I buy a new amp, it has a warranty, what is it, 5 years still on Fender amps? Something like that. Or is it three now? I can't remember. But, you know, if it blows up, you know, they'll fix it or swap it, which is great. All right, so Ahmad's, Richard says, Shane, I'm having some issues with recent Windows and the Fuse website. I think it's a flash issue. My copy of the Fender Fuse software for Windows is working okay so far. Okay, that's interesting. So Windows 10 issue. I actually installed it, no problems on mine. It could be a plugin that's required. Just check the prerequisites if there's any, if you have to install, you know, a particular version or something to get it to run. Virtual Life says, I hate charging things. It's never charged when I want to use it. Yeah, well, that's what I was kind of worried about with those pickups. But I mean, they look like they sound good from what I've heard. Well, they look like they sound good. They sound like they sound good. All right, so North of 50 now says, I've got the Greg Koch Fishmans. They are awesome. Charge lasts 1 month. Okay, oh, cool. When playing every day, it's a simple cell phone battery. If it dies after 5 years, simply solder a new one in. Okay, cool. I wasn't sure if it was part of, like, you know how sometimes you can't change batteries? Like, say you got a... There's some sort of tech out there that makes it really hard. Like, if you got a laptop, you can change the battery, but you can't just unclick it and put a new one in. You have to actually take the keyboard off and do all that kind of stuff. I wondered what the complication was. So, cool. Thanks for the info. Alright. Ahmad says, I just spent the past weekend trying to learn the tonal possibilities of my Marshall Vintage Modern. I've got some great tones out of it through both Strat and Les Pauls. Awesome. Decent cleans and some nasty, dirty tones. Just need to work on the playing. Man, so do I. I'll show you something. Check this out. I don't know if I didn't share this with everybody the other day, but speaking of working on the playing, let me show you this. I went to see Greg Koch. I went to see Chris Kane the other week. When was it? Last Thursday night. I was still pretty sick, but I doped up on cold and flu tablets, and I went to see him, and holy crap, what a great player. Les Paul, Cable, Fender Pro Sonic. He just used someone's amp. And check this out. I don't know if this is going to work. Let's see if it does. I put it on my Instagram, actually. So, yeah, me and Chris Kane. And man, what a humble guy. Like, not only is he arguably the best guitar player I've ever heard in my life, great singer, just a lovely dude. I got a good chance to have I got to chat to him twice, once briefly before the gig and once after. And as I was leaving, I said to him, man, you've just inspired me to throw out all of my pedals and practice more. And he had a good laugh. So, yeah, really lovely guy. And speaking of working on the playing, this guy just plugged in and got a great tone. So it was inspiring to say the least. I really needed to go see someone just do that and kill it. And it was motivating. So yeah, I can relate to working on the playing. Alright, what's a good pedal to start off with for a bargainer? Is that what that word is? Look, it just depends whether or not, it just depends on what sound you're looking for, man. Like, I need more info. There's no one pedal that does. If you want a pedal that works well, get a volume boost pedal. One button, you're good to go. Certainly Line 6 now won't be sponsoring you, lol. That's all right, I don't care. That's all good with me. All right, thanks, Shane. I appreciate your advice. I live in New York, so I think I should be okay. That was in relation to the guitar storage question. No worries. We've got Always Rockin' from Oregon. All right, so do we have more Guitar Search Saturdays coming? Yes. I actually started the narration on the first episode of it the day before I got sick. And now I'm like a minute and a half into it, which doesn't sound like much, but they take ages, those videos. They take upwards of 8 hours each, easily. They're not as easy to edit and put together as you might think. But they're kind of a whole lot more fun than just doing demos. So I'll probably, not today, but probably tomorrow or the next day, I'll start doing the narration on that first episode. I have a feeling they're not going to be weekly. They might be every other week now, just because of the way the new series is looking. I don't want to give it away, but it's going to be different to the last lot. And I think I might need that extra week to make sure it all comes together. But we'll see how we go. But yeah, they are on the way. What's the date today? The 20th? I'd probably guess the first one might be up on the 1st of July. So next Look, it might be the 24th. That was the planned date for Guitar Search Saturdays, but it might be the 1st. It'd be one or the other. I'll see how we go. If I can get it up on YouTube before the 1st, like as in this Saturday, I will. But there's a few things I still have to do for it that I couldn't do while I was sick. So, anyway. All right, if you ever get a chance, try the JHS Vintage V6 Strat or Wilkinson Hardware and pickups for $500. They're awesome value and available in Lefty, heavily marketed here in Kiwiland. Cool. All right, I'll check them out. Yeah, Wilkinson Hardware's good. You know, I think the Little Crow's got Wilkinson tuners on there, the new one that I've got, and it holds tune great. That demo, by the way, that's coming up for the Little Crow, I put a lot of effort into that, so in terms of the intro and all that, so let me know what you think. It's got a new backing track and some different chops and all that kind of stuff, so hopefully you like it. Kenny B says, use Linux. Linux is awesome. I know Linux back the front. Oh, I shouldn't say that. I'm like on the scale of 1 to 10, and 10 being total nerd, and 0 being what the hell is Linux? Probably a 7. I know all the command line stuff for their servers, and I used Ubuntu for years, deploying test websites and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, Chris says, thanks for doing the live Q&A, Shane. I always appreciate and enjoy your content. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Thanks for dropping in. It doesn't work well without everybody here. So, yeah, they just wouldn't get done. It wouldn't be as fun. Let's put it that way. All right. Have I ever tried the Nux Roctory? It's a mix between a polyphonic octave, like the EHX POG, and a Leslie simulator. Now, that sounds pretty wild. That's from John Antis. Hopefully that's how you pronounce that. Sorry, man. If it's not, I apologize. But yeah, that sounds actually really cool. They make some good stuff. All right, Ryan says he just saw Tab Benoit. He was playing a 72 Tele Deluxe straight into the amp, no pedals. I think it was a Category 5 amp. His signature, incredible tone, even more of an incredible player. He's awesome. You know, I listen to Pandora a lot. And every time his stuff comes on, or a song of his I haven't heard, I'm like, man, this sounds good. Who is this? I look at it, it's like, oh, another Tab Benoit song. So, or Benoit, if that's how you prefer to pronounce it. But, yeah. All right, so Todd Flowers says, you didn't live stream Chris Kane like you said you would. I did. I absolutely did. It went for 2 hours, and it's on my Facebook page. I never said I was streaming it on YouTube. I said I was streaming it on Facebook, and I did it. I absolutely. It had 1,200 views. I had 900 views during the entire 2-hour stream, and now it's up to about 1,300. Oh, well, like 1,300 views. So it says 1.3K there or something. So, yeah, I absolutely did. I didn't miss one second of it, actually. So it is absolutely there. Have I ever played a 7-string guitar before? No. It's not something that I've ever wanted. I have enough problems with 6. Have I ever played the Fender Kurt Cobain Fender Jaguar? Yeah, I picked one up, actually. There is a Lefty. The same day I bought my... Was it the same day or... I think it was the same day I picked up my Classic Vibe from Daytona. What was it called? Daytona Beach Music or something like that. I've forgotten the name of the store. Anyway, it's on my gig bag, wherever it is. They had a Lefty, a blue Kurt Cobain one. I remember picking it up and going, oh, the neck's pretty fat, and it felt pretty good, but I didn't plug it in. I just picked it up and had a quick strum. All right, any recommendations on a cheapish tube amp that's decent for gigging? Man, I would probably say, you know, look at your second-hand market for good gigging amps that are cheap. You save a lot of money doing that. You know, and I don't know where you're from either, so that cheap in one part of the world might be way worse than others. I know, like, Australia sucks for prices, but Brazil's even worse, from what I understand. So, you know, depending on where you are, yeah, just... And depending on what kind of music you play as well, is all these things come into account. All right, let me go down here. I probably missed a few questions here, guys. Sorry. They're piling up. Really liked the videos on the Joyo Blue Jay. Thought I needed one, then I seen your Bugera V5 vids. Now I think I need that. So the Bugera V5's good because, you know what? 5 watts in a house is pretty loud. Like, I'll very ever rarely run the Bugera V5 on 5 watts. I usually have it on either 1 watt or 0.5 watts or 0.1 watts, whatever the lowest setting is on there, because it's plenty loud. Like, if there's people around, I'm never on 5 watts. If there's, during the day, if no one's around, I'll chuck it on 5 watts and have some fun, but I don't often run it on 5 watts. So it's got plenty of volume and it's a combo. So you got a speaker and all that stuff sorted out already. It's got reverb built in. Excuse me. The only downside of it is it feels like it needs a little bit more treble than it has. So if you've got an overdrive or an EQ pedal, that sorts that out. But overall, I'm a big fan of it. For just playing at home and getting a good tone and having some fun, it's great. Alright, Gibson Sonics is a kind of affordable Les Paul guitar from the 80s. I want a good guitar to go with it for getting tons of tones between the two. Yeah, look, I'm not familiar with that, man. I apologize for that. I don't know enough about that particular guitar. So, yeah, it's kind of rare that I hear stuff that I'm unfamiliar with completely, and that's one of them. So sorry about that. All right, hi Shane, you mentioned possibly having Andy from Pro Guitar Shop on with you sometime. Is that still in the works? Well, I got an email back from them saying they were interested and that they forward the email to Andy and all that kind of stuff. So that'd be interesting to have a chat with him, the man with the golden voice. He's done voiceover work for nature documentaries and stuff. So no wonder he sounds so cool. But yeah, I'd love to ask him a few music questions just about how he retains a lot of the stuff that he learns and... you know, I have a feeling he might have a bit of a perfect pitch thing or a photographic memory just based on, you know, he never really plays the same thing twice, which is pretty uncanny. And yeah, I'd love to sort of pick his brain about that sort of stuff. So I might follow it up with another email just to see if it's like something he's interested in. I sent him the link to the last live YouTube summit and said, look, we'd love to have you on. We had, you know, 400, 500 people watching that, plus, you know, 6,000 views after the fact as well, so within the first few days. So I think it would be a good thing for him to do, not only because it would be fun for everybody that watches my channel as well as Pro Guitar Shop or whoever's channel we do it on, but I think it would be good to sort of get him out of just doing the same thing and see the personality behind the guy a bit as well. I know he does other videos on his channel from time to time, but you know, it's very business focused. It'd be good to sort of see what he's like and see if he's relatable, all that kind of stuff. So fingers crossed. Good point. I actually have my notebook here because people will remind me of stuff. So I'm going to write that down here. I'll write Andy follow up and we'll see how we go. We're supposed to have Greg Koch on as well. He said he wanted to do it months and months and months ago, but I think I've pestered him enough now. I've sort of given up. I even offered to throw him some bucks just to see if he could, you know, jump on the chat. But I don't know. It's a little disappointing that he changed his mind or decided not to. I'm not too sure. Maybe all my Fender criticisms, and I know he's tied into those companies. Maybe that had something to do with it. I'm not too sure. All right. All right, so Ryan says, on the topic of a good gigging amp that's cheap, check out the PV Delta Blues, buy used, just got one for $400. There you go. So, yeah, it's a great blues amp, no doubt about it. Lots of clean headroom, pretty loud and portable as well. All right. Guitaraholic says, I have to go. Have a great time. Catch you later. Thanks for hanging around, man. Appreciate that. And, all right. So, we've got a lot of comments about Bugera stuff here. Do I follow Pete Thorne's YouTube channel? I'm not subscribed to it. I don't follow a whole lot of gear channels, but I love his demos. I love his playing. He's an absolute beast. Usually any time I'm looking for something that I don't have, and I see his like actual search results come up, his is the video I'll watch over any of the other shops and all that kind of stuff. Like, he's an absolute beast. And he writes, I don't know where he comes out with all this music, man. He's one of those guys that can write songs just because he wakes up. So, yeah, very cool. We've got Joshua. How are you, man? He just got on. I think we've been here for probably an hour or so now. I could be wrong, but it feels like it might be creeping up on the hour. All right, I'm thinking of getting a Telecaster. What's your take on Fender versus G&L? All right, so Peter, if you haven't played either of them, then you're in a good state or in a good place because they do feel different to play. Some G&Ls feel kind of like Fender Tellies and others feel completely different. It's something to do with the way the guitar fits on your body. Like, it sounds kind of weird, but with my old G&L, I felt like I had to reach further this way to get to, like, the E fret, whereas the Tally was the same as the Strat. It kind of felt comfortable and my reference points were all the same. The G&L felt a little bit further that way from my chord hand. That said, I played another G&L recently and it felt fine. So I don't know if their neck length has varied between different models or years or whatever, but there's something about how the G&L felt on my body that was different. It felt like I had to reach further to get to the same place. That said, the finish, the neck and the pickups and all that stuff, but the neck, especially on the G&L, was second to none. You know, if you've ever seen like a really antique piece of wood or like even some of those, like, you know, you see it in movies and stuff where someone's got an old rifle in the woods, like he's got that gun polish thing on there. It kind of looked like that. Like, it looked insane nice on the back of the neck. It was insane. I think Tally, the G&L stuff is probably, I want to say better value, but it's probably, look, in Australia, if you can get a secondhand G&L, you'll be paying nothing for it. People here don't know what they're worth, and they won't pay much for them because they don't say Fender. I would say G&L would be a cheaper option for you if you're buying secondhand on the most part, at least here in Australia. I don't know what the secondhand market's like in the US, even though I bought mine from there. Generally, I don't know what the market's like. But I always say play both, because if you'll know straight away if one feels better than the other, and just go for it based on that and go for it based on the tone. The pickups I had in my G&L sounded great. I wouldn't have swapped them for anything else. I kind of like them both for different reasons. Tony says, my dog has no nose. How does he smell? Awful. Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, and be careful on Telecasters too. If they have vintage pickups of any brand, don't buy it. Buy something with larger frets, because you'll find that vintage frets won't last you long. If you fall in love with that guitar and you play it a lot, the vintage frets often won't last very long. Mine lasted less than 3 or 4 years. I played that guitar to death. And I had to get the frets replaced. So you're looking at, I was looking at $400 to get stainless steel frets put in here in Australia. Other places around the world might not cost that much, but yeah, that's what it costs here. But Graham Hines from Perth, how are you, man? All right, I was wondering if more people see a shift in digital effects and digital amps. Hear stories from shops they're struggling to sell the big valve amps. You know why they sell more digital amps and why the Fender Mustang series were so popular? It was because they're cheaper on the most part than valve amps. A lot of people that play at home that don't gig because there's not as many gigs around or not as many maybe working musos these days, is they probably just think, I can plug some headphones into this, dial up a Gary Moore sound, dial up a, you know, a Mayer sound or whatever he or she wants to play. Any type of tone, you can kind of dial something into a digital amp, whereas a valve amp, you're not only spending more money straight away, but you'll need pedals to get a lot of these effects, and then that's a bit of a black hole for money as well. So I can see why your comment is what it is. You might be right. Maybe shops aren't selling as many big valve amps anymore. Just recently, I went in and I played an amp I nearly bought before I got the Super Reverb, and I went back to get it, and it was sold. It was a Fender Twin. I think they call it a Super 85. They've got a 15-inch speaker, or Custom 15 or something like that they're called. They're an 85-watt Fender Twin with a 15-inch speaker, and God, it sounded so good. It was, like, unbelievable. This was about, I don't know, a few days ago. And I went to lift it off the ground. I couldn't move it. I was like, man, I can bench press more than my weight now, and I still can't lift this amp. What's going on? So, yeah, that would be a huge part of why a lot of valve amps aren't getting sold to people, you know. I think a huge part of the... This is how I sort of break down music. You get your kids who might want something they can plug everything into, you know, an amp they can plug in and get all kinds of sounds out of. And then there's musos who already know what they want, that just want to get a particular thing. Then you get like the older generation of guys and girls that'll be playing. They might come back to guitar after playing for many years, and they might just think, I'll just get one of these digital amps. It's all I need for home. Like, why do I need a Fender Twin? You know, I can't lift it, A, and B, it's way too loud. So, you know, that's it's probably an option for a lot of people. So, what happened to my classic vibe? So after I got my, I think it was my Gold Top, I needed to recover $4,000, and that was part of the reason that went. Great guitar. But for me too, I also only ever... I tend to play one guitar of any type more than the other. So if I got three Strats, I'll play one Strat all the time. The other two will sit there doing nothing. If I got two Telecasters, I'll play one Telecaster. And that's... After I got the frets redone on my my 52, I just thought, that's good enough for me. That'll do. All right, thanks again for the air travel tips with the guitar. No problems, Bigfoot. My pleasure, man. All right, so Terry Bear says, the PV Valve King version 1, great clean channel, but beyond that, the rest is blah, bleh. The dirt channel can be at least modded to a Marshall Mesa sound or even both. Cool. Yeah, the PV Valve King stuff's weird. They're a dark-sounding amp. You could be right about that. I think the clean channel is probably pretty good. But I remember trying the drive channel, and I just went... It's like it had, I don't know, a blanket over the speaker. It didn't sound muffled. It just sounded dark, like a really dark sort of sound. So, yeah, good point there, Terry. Thanks, man. Modeling amps are fun to play with and can make practicing more interesting. Yeah, absolutely. And they can also be a way to show you what kind of effects you like. The first pedal I ever bought, which I'm a little ashamed to admit, but it was a Zoom 707, I think they were called. They were like this little plastic thing that had 97 different effects in there, or whatever it was, 99 effects, or maybe 707, I'm not too sure. But basically, I found out I liked overdrive and I liked delay. So I sold it pretty quickly and bought a Tube Screamer. It was one of those Tone Lock series ones, the kind of square Ibanez ones that were out for a little while. And, yeah, years later I got a delay pedal. But, yeah, I just find digital amps are fun to practice with. But like some people say, you get option paralysis through them. You'll just spend more time fiddling than you will playing. And that's not cool sometimes. But you're right, if you set up a sound you like and you can just commit to leaving that alone, then you can use them as a great practice tool. Absolutely. All right. All right, so Tracy C says, 10-inch speakers, 12 or 15. Depends on what you're trying to achieve. Oh, that's from Cole Morson's question here. Yeah, 10s have more punch, but don't sound great on their own a lot of the time, unless you're playing a Princeton. you need, 2 10s will sound amazing. 12s will be pretty much the most universally easy, I don't know, probably the most balanced speaker. You get a lot of lows, get a lot of highs. Mids is good, depending, you know, there's so many variations in speakers these days too. You can get something that does just about anything. The right 15-inch speaker can sound amazing. The wrong one can sound very scooped in all the frequencies you need. It will be really boomy in the lows and really ice-picky high, but will miss a lot of the mids. So, yeah, it comes down to the amp's voicing as well as the quality of the speaker. I would play a great 210 amp any day of the week. I would play a single 12 or a 212 amp as well. I think that sounds great. That's huge. 410s also sounds good. You know, quad box with 412 sounds amazing too. And there's amps out there with a 15 that it just absolutely sings. So, yeah, it just depends on the amp. All amps are voiced a little differently as well. ZD351 says, Tone Lock, wasn't he that funky Cole Medina guy? Yeah, he was. I think you're right. All right, so I guess this is about it, guys. I reckon it's probably been over an hour. I could be wrong, but I don't know how. I haven't got any way to check. I don't think. So on it, hit the road. By hit the road, I mean probably just finish doing some editing. But yeah, thanks for hanging out. And let me just check something here. I want to see if Tone King's posted up a actual thing here. Look, the next summit will be on his channel. So head over to the Tone King, or just type in the Tone King into YouTube. And that'll be the next one. It'll be up next week, I think, on Saturday or Friday night in the US, which will be Thursday morning. Which will be the day before here. Oh, day after. What am I talking about? So, all right, I got it. It'll be the 30th. Friday the 30th. I'm pretty sure this will be the date. New York time at, I'm not too sure what time. But anyway, yeah, it'll be the 30th. Far out. I can't even talk now. Friday the 30th, US time. It'll be the first, Saturday the 1st of July in Australia. So that's the time difference. There we go. Bloody hell. Ugh. I'm used to working it out the other way, not that way. Wow, we've got lots and lots of questions here, folks. So thanks so much. Sorry I didn't get around to asking everything. If I have missed something and you wanted to ask a particular question, this stream will be live on YouTube coming up pretty soon. Oh, live. It'll be cached. So feel free to ask on there, and I'll check the questions a bit later on today and get back to everybody. So, all right, folks. Thanks again for hanging out. And, yeah. Check out the Tone King live stream that we're going to be doing. It's going to be good fun. He's a really lovely guy and a good dude. So, yeah, we'll have some fun there. And Ahmad, I know I said I'd email you back, and I will. I've just been, like I said, under the weather a bit. So, yeah, I'll be in touch. But, yeah, catch you all very soon. Thanks again. Don't forget to give the video a thumbs up if you can. Appreciate that. We've got still 96 people here, so that's awesome. Catch you soon, folks. I'm going to go over there to turn it off, unfortunately, so you can check out my crappy CD collection.